Our next guy up is Thomas Forrest Kelly, Knopfel Professor of Music. He is the closest person I know to a musical polymath. He, as they say, does it all. His own interest is in medieval chant, and I don't think that's exactly the topic of today, although I think it's not, in fact, unrelated. But he's going to speak to us on the riot, it's being spring, on the riot at the Rite of Spring in Paris, 1913.
Thank you, Marlon. Thank you. Hi, everybody. I teach a course called First Nights every fall here in this room, and it's a course for people who are taking what may well be the only course in music they ever take in their lives. So it's my one chance to make the world safe for the kind of music I like. There are plenty of other courses, but what this one is about is what it was like to be at the first performances of five famous pieces of classical music. So it's kind of time travel. And at the end of the course, we commission a new piece that's given its first performance right here. So we bring a new piece of art into the world. It's a great privilege, and we're the only people who have ever heard it at that first performance. So one of the pieces we talk about is surely the most famous first performance ever, and it's the first performance of a ballet called The Rite of Spring, music by this guy, Igor Stravinsky, performed in Paris in 1913, so it's almost exactly 100 years old. This Paris that was super high-tech, they have electricity, they have cinemas, they have airplanes, they have giant towers made out of steel. They believe that technology is going to do wonderful things for the human race. They don't know, of course, because who can know, that next year World War I is going to break out and kill a huge proportion of the European population. For now, they think technology is terrific. And in the spring of 1913, as in the last several years, the Russian Ballet Company, directed by Serge Diaghilev, this guy here, comes to give its regular season in Paris. They perform in this super modern, brand new Théâtre des Champs-Élysées, the Theater of the Champs-Élysées, which has these wonderful seats, and it's in this building that the audience, what everybody says is that the audience was screaming so loud that the dancers on the stage couldn't hear this huge orchestra that's playing really loud music right below their own feet. And that the choreographer, Vaslav Nijinsky, was standing backstage. He was in his white tie and tails because he was expecting to come out at the end of the ballet and take a curtain call as the choreographer. He was furious. He was standing backstage on a chair screaming numbers in Russian to the dancers so they could stay together. Stravinsky, the composer, who was sitting over there, got so mad that he went backstage and stood behind Nijinsky and held onto the tails of his tailcoat so that he wouldn't fall forward and roll onto the stage. What a scene. I would love to have been there. If you know, many of you probably have played, many of you know The Rite of Spring. If you don't, you probably actually do know The Rite of Spring if you've ever seen Walt Disney's Fantasia. Remember that? Well, the ballet, there's a mysterious beginning, and then the curtain goes up and the dancing begins. And the dancing, it's the most amazing sound. It's one single chord repeated many, many, many times. This sound. Maybe you know that sound. It's one of those, Stravinsky finds all his music at the piano. It's very cool. It's this. That's nice. And it's this. Great. Put them together. Play it 59 times without changing anything. And here's what it looks and sounds like. Not much to listen to. It's good that there's some choreography. How do we listen to that? Well, you might listen to it in groups. Or you might might do other things. Stravinsky really liked that chord.
I like very much this chord. Was rather a new chord, you know, an 8 notes chord. But the accents were even more new. And the accents were really the foundation of the whole thing.
With more time, I would spend a lot of time saying what a liar Stravinsky is. He spends a whole lot of his time making this piece into Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. The idea was not his, the scenario was not his, the choreography was intimately bound up with the thing, and he spent the rest of his life trying to tease it apart so it could be his, but that's another story. The story of the ballet and the sets and costumes were made by this man, Nikolai Rorich. He sent his two sons to Harvard. He was a painter. This is what he looked like before he got all weird and grew the long white beard and moved off to India and stuff. And he was a painter, and he was thought to be an expert on primitive Slavic culture and a great archaeologist and ethnographer. And the ballet is about primitive Slavic tribe and what the rituals they perform in the spring to make sure that the earth will bear fruit. We could use some of that now. We don't have the original sets, unfortunately, but we have some pastel drawings done by an artist at the back of the theater during the performances. And this is a picture of the first half of the Rite of Spring, which takes place in the daytime, and it's full of rituals and ritual games performed by groups, all group numbers. And there's a picture of the second half of the ballet, which takes place at night, begins with the young women of the tribe dancing in this mystical circle. They select one of their number who gets into the middle and stands trembling like this while they do this wild dance around her. She's the one who's going to have to dance herself to death at the end of the ballet so that the earth will blossom again this year. That's sort of what we know about it. There are a few original costumes that survive from that first production, and they're in museums around the world. And my expert Slavic friends say that they really look to them like authentic Slavic costumes of particular times and places. So that was sort of the look of the set. The dancing was designed by the great male dancer Vaclav Nijinsky. He had recently been made the choreographer of the Russian ballet, and he made a dance, a kind of choreography that I think he did it on purpose. Some said it was designed to be ugly. I mean, you know about ballet, right? Ballet is about arms. It's about solo dancing, and it's about what they call turnout. You can always tell a ballet dancer because they walk like this. You know, turnout is, you know, doing this kind of thing. Don't I look? And so, wishing to be primitive and archaic, Nijinsky does the opposite. Everything is in groups, no hands, arms down by your side, head weird, lock your knees, put your toes together, not out, and jump up and down. Don't try this at home. Not good for you. And then make people do things in very weird situation. This is a studio photographs of some of the dancers. So, here's the dance that you saw in the pastel, the dance that the young women dance around the immobile chosen victim. You see? This is how it works. This is also the dinosaur music. Here's how this works. It's actually made up of only three things. And there's something that sounds like this. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's the capital letter A, and it always happens in 5 beat units. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. But sometimes that same sound, that same wonderful Stravinsky piano sound, just doesn't do the 5. It goes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, or 1, 2, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that's what the little A's are. So it's either. And then there's B. Letter B is something that starts down low and goes up higher and goes faster and faster and is always underway by the time you hear it. B sounds kind of like. That's what B sounds like. And then there's C, which is just another one of those found sounds. See, go slow. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And that's all you need to know about this dance that you saw in the pastel. You won't have any trouble following along with it. It begins after those 11 unbelievable drum beat chords. See that although you might not like the content, Stravinsky is making a very lucid form. A whole lot of A's, a contrast with a bunch of B's and C's with a little red herring thrown in, which he loves to do, and then a return to the sound of all A. So you might call it composition by Xeroxery. Or you might, I don't know what you might want to do. What must it have been like to go to that theater? This is the facade of the theater, which is brand new in the 1913 season. To go up in that lobby with all your fancy clothes on, it was a very big deal, the Russian Ballet, to sit in these great big padded armchairs, to sit in that auditorium and scream while these poor people try to dance on the stage. Well, last fall, the Harvard Radcliffe Orchestra gave a concert of the Rite of Spring right here in Sanders Theater, and they asked me to give a little pre-concert introduction, and I said I will on one condition, that we can try what I've always wanted to know, which is, can you or can you not drown out the Rite of Spring? Well, we tried it. Here's an iPhone version. This thing to play. The problem is that I can't get the little play button. There it is. Okay. Check this out. Whoops, sorry.
A thing I've always wanted to do is to see whether it is possible to drown out the light. And so I invite you to scream.
Not during the performance. Now. I'm going to invite the orchestra to play that section of the glorification of the chosen victim. I suggest that we start screaming during those 11 repeated chords, and we'll see what happens.
Done, but it's hard, and it would be hard to scream that loud through the duration of the whole Rite of Spring, which lasts 25 minutes. So I think there's a lot of exaggeration. If I had been there, I wouldn't have screamed, and if they hadn't screamed, we would have been able to hear as well as see the choreography of that section there. The problem is the little play button. Well, I'm going to have to exit that so you can. I want you to see this thing. It's very cool. That's That's as much as we look. That's the first part of the thing. Curiously, there are people who still hate the Rite of Spring. They think it's savage, brutal, ugly. Of course, part of it is meant to do that because that's what it's a picture of. The subtitle is Pictures of Pagan Russia. But for me, it's a couple of things. One is one of the great artistic collaborations that ever happened. It's not Stravinsky's Rite of Spring. It's Diaghilev and Nijinsky and Rorik and Stravinsky and all those wonderful dancers in that orchestra who put the art together, and I think it should stay that way. Some people think it's unspeakably ugly. I think, without a doubt, it's the most influential piece of music of the 20th century. And what's interesting is what a huge influence it continues to have in our time in the 20th century. And I guess it's going to be a milestone for a long time to come. Come to First Nights, and I'll try to teach you to love it if you don't already. Thanks.